This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, and it's going to be an enormous Monday for reasons I will explain in just a moment. First of all, remember that it's, of course, Medal of Honor Monday. That's an hour from now. We'll celebrate a hero. But here are the kind of subtopics we're going to discuss, but there's going to be a theme to them. New Mexico Republican Party was firebombed, the headquarters. The same judge that's stopping the deportations protected Ray Epps. Department of Justice is starting a clean out. We're going to discuss the DOJ, FBI, your frustrations, things like that. What happened in France? Why does it matter at all? This will all come back to us. Elon Musk says non-citizens are getting social security numbers and voting. Tariffs are coming. All that, emails, and so much more are coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But we are going to, I'm giving you a heads up right now, we're going to do something a little different, but it's similar to what we oftentimes do on the show. Because, you know, what's wild is all these things would sound totally separate. From France to the Republican Party headquarters in New Mexico to Ray Epps to the DOJ to all these things sound like separate stories, separate issues. But they're actually all linked, all tied together, because we are going to do even a larger zoom out than we normally do. You know how I say we normally try to do the 30,000 foot view? We don't sit and read a headline. Well, let's discuss in detail the Republican Party headquarters of New Mexico. We don't do that. Let's talk about the why. What's the game? What's at play here? Well, we're zooming out even more. Because there is something going on globally right now that we have to discuss. Okay? So let's start with that. We'll start with as zoomed out as we can be, and then we'll zoom in. You ready to walk through this with me? Globally. What's happening right now is the world is changing. Let me explain. That's a little vague. Let me explain. There have been various periods of time in the history of the world where the major or many of the major established countries were going through serious upheaval, and it seemed to happen, oddly, around the same time, during at least the same time period. For instance, I'll just do it for instance. Prior to World War I, right about that era, that general era, you'd say 1800s, mid to late 1800s, or that time frame in the world, something was happening. And this, you could expand it beyond that, but something was happening. And here's what was happening. The huge established countries in the world were starting to move completely away from having one central figurehead who led the country. Whether maybe that's a czar in the case of Russia, we'll talk about Russia. Maybe that's a king when you're talking about countries like France or England. But for the longest time before that, for the longest time, countries, tiny tribes, they were led by one man. Now, the one man had various levels of power. If you were in ancient Egypt, the pharaoh was not just a king. He was a god. You weren't allowed to look at him or you die. And sometimes the king had to have other people with a say-so. We saw all kinds of stuff that had to do with that in England, Henry VIII, that kind of... Okay, so... But the world, almost all at once, and I know it wasn't identical dates, decided this king thing? No, I think we should have a representative government. And sometimes that worked out pretty well. England's actually a great example. When they moved away from the monarchy, more of a representative country. Some countries like Russia did it not so well. They instead had a communist revolution. They tossed the czars out, and you know how that went. But the world
really changed at once. And the world, the people of the world decided, wait a minute, I should not be ruled as a subject. I instead should be treated as a citizen, a valuable citizen who matters. My life matters. I am not a peasant. I'm not a subject. My life is not meaningless. I don't exist to serve the king. Excuse me. I don't exist to serve the king. My life has more value than that. And a lot of that rose, honestly, with the rising of the Christian church that more taught those lessons around the globe as well. You're not a nothing. You're not meaningless. You matter. Your soul matters as anyone else. Okay, so as that rose, everything kind of rose, and that way of thinking rose on the planet. You with me? Now, we see where we are now. Let's fast forward to where we are now, or at least where we were, let's call it 50 years ago. Where were we? Where we were was, well, people had rights in this planet. And I'm not going to act like things were all hunky-dory 50 years ago or 100 years ago. Of course, they were not. The world is always and will always have huge problems. I'm not saying that. But in places like the United States of America, France, England, these huge countries, Germany even, these huge countries, well, Germany kind of post-WW2, but you know what I mean. These huge, important, powerful countries, citizens there were free. Free. And free in different ways, and it differed from country to country. But one of the ways they were very, very free was freedom of expression, freedom of speech. That was something fairly universal across the civilized world. It has been something fairly universal. Meaning, whether you are in Mississippi, California, or London, or Berlin, or Paris, you can walk into the street and you can write the name of the head of the state, whoever it was, George Bush or Margaret Thatcher, whoever you wanted, and you could say, Margaret Thatcher is the devil. And you could hold it up on a sign as a citizen, because you were a citizen, and you could speak out loudly against your government, against the head of your state, because you had the freedom to do so, because you were free. That was what Western civilization became. Western civilization, when we've referenced it, and we'll reference it a lot tonight, it became what everybody wanted to be. The rest of the world looked at countries like us. We'll make it about us, the United States of America. The rest of the world looked at us and the freedoms we take for granted, and they thought to themselves, I'll kill for that. Shoot. I'll die for that. I'll risk everything to get out of this oppressive society where we're not free, just to get to a country where me and my children can be free. That's what freedom meant. It wasn't just a word. It's not something we sing in songs. That's what it truly meant. You are a citizen, a unique, God-breathed individual with real, genuine rights. And no government has the right to take that away from you, because you are free. That's why people have tried to flock to Western civilization for decades and decades and decades. That's what they were coming for. But like all great things, freedom needs maintenance, you see. If you... let's say you go down to Home Depot, hopefully Ace or something like that, local store, but you go down to Home Depot and you decide you're going to make a beautiful, beautiful lawn, beautiful landscaping, and you're down there and you're buying all the seeds and the fertilizer, and your wife's, of course, being annoying. We need flowers, and you're going to get the flowers and maybe even start a garden. Maybe you're even going to get a tree and you dig a ditch. And let's say you pour your soul into your landscaping for a couple weeks, blood, sweat, tears. And by the time you're finally done and the mowing's done and the trimming's done and everything is planted, by the time you're done, maybe you're even hard at it for 6 months, making sure everything's watered and taken care of, you walk out back one day and you look at your lawn and wow, look how beautiful it is. Look at the flowers. trees providing shade. Oh, we have a hammock set up. Look at my lawn. It's green. It's trimmed. It's lovely. That's lovely. Good. Good for you. You worked hard for it. You built it. Sit back there and enjoy it. What would that lawn look like if you went back inside and didn't come back out to maintain it for a year? What would it look like? A disaster. Well, free societies work the exact same way. And we, the citizens, were the landscapers. So now that's where we were. Let's talk about what's happening as it relates to the judges and the FBI. And my goodness, there's so much to talk about. Now, you like these little rewinds into history, these little views back there. Well, you're really, really, really going to like Hillsdale College and the free classes they give. You know they have a class, Constitution 101. You think you know about the Constitution? Do you know about the challenges it faced? Civil War and other times? You know why they put this thing into it and that thing into it? How much do you really know? Hillsdale will teach you for free. Do you think that might be something your children could write on their hearts and carry with them the rest of their lives? Real, actual knowledge of the Constitution? The rise and fall of the Roman Republic? Hillsdale's offering more than 40 classes, 40 courses for free. To you and me. Didn't mean for that to rhyme, but that was awesome. Go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse, and that's where you sign up. There's no cost. It's easy. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday, 45 minutes from Medal of Honor Monday. And we're going to get to that, of course, and so many other things. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to what we were discussing. The world is changing now. It went through changes in the past where we cast off the kings and monarchs and Western civilization became what it is now, where citizens across the world, not just us, across the world enjoyed freedoms. Freedom to criticize the government, freedom to run for office. But free citizens, we have an obligation, you see. I called it landscaping. Think of it like landscaping. You plant the flowers, you mow the lawn, you plant the trees, you bust your butt, sweat, your back hurts. In the end, it's beautiful and it's wonderful and you've created something incredible. But just like landscaping, you can't create something beautiful and then just let it go. Because if you walk away, there's always weeds and terrible things lurking beneath the surface trying to come back. Does it sound like I've experienced this before? I have. That's why we're using my own analogy for this whole thing. We, the free people of the world, of Western civilization, we were gifted from past generations free countries. But with that gift, we did not accept the responsibility of maintaining it. And we went about our business and we ignored it. I don't do politics. It's a game on. And those weeds, evil people, started to sprout up and gain strength. And choke off the flowers, kill the trees, and overrun the lawn. And now we walk out back and we're looking at this disaster. And we're wondering what happened. Well, what happened is we were negligent. And we didn't understand the weeds. And that's really what I want to talk about right now. The headquarters of the New Mexico Republican Party, it got firebombed. You can go look at pictures of it. It's really awful. They even spray painted on there, ICE equals KKK. So we know exactly who did this. Standard street animals. Very powerful, very evil people across Western civilization. What they want is to return to the days of kings and queens. Because they, of course, consider themselves those kings and queens. They see themselves as rulers, not your servant. Not even your representative, not your senator, Not your FBI agent, not your IRS agent. No, 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 no. They are your rulers. They are your betters. I'm not talking about what they are. I'm talking about how they see themselves. They see themselves as that. They also understand that little things like your rights, the Constitution, they're in the way. These people, you, with your love of your freedoms, it's a bother, you see. And so what they've done is they've embarked on a decades, it's been a century now, a century-long campaign to slowly but surely overrun your landscaping, overrun your flowers, destroy what you've built, and replace it with something utterly horrific. But here's the thing. When you are fighting a revolution for power, and that's really what all the elite communist scum are in it for, they don't care about climate change or civil rights or any of that other dumb stuff. They certainly don't care about the deportations or the poor immigrant. They don't care about any of that stuff. They care about power. It's all about power. It's all about money. And when you're fighting a revolution against a current system, there's no way to do it nicely, politely. It's just not humanly possible. Think about maybe you hate your company, or you've worked for a company in the past you hate for. Or if you're in school, if you're a kid right now in school, maybe you hate your teacher. Maybe your principal's a jerk. Let's say you wanted to get them replaced. What if you had to replace your boss, your teacher, your principal? What would that take? Could you do it nicely? Hey, Mr. Johnson, I don't like how you've been running things around here. And I'll be honest with you, sir, if you don't mind, I'd really love it if you would step down, please. Pretty please. I'm being polite. Is that how you replace them? No, of course not. You're going to have to get not nice, flat out mean. Well, America's communists understand if they are to be successful in burning down our rights and replacing this government with something completely evil and tyrannical, they understand that some eggs are going to have to be broken to make that omelet, if you will. And that, of course, is where the street communists come in. Remember, because this is going to be important, we've talked about it many times before. There are now, as there always has been, two different kinds of communism, two different divisions of communism. It's not even American. Soviets had it. Everyone has it. Everyone has it today. There are the elites, and there are the streets. Senators, the people in the media, Hollywood, these people go out, they don't believe in anything they say, and they tell people Republicans are Nazis, Elon Musk is the devil, bah, 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 bah. Go hurt them. You have Chuck Schumer standing up in front of a crowd of people shouting that Supreme Court justices will reap the whirlwind. Why do they say these things? Because they understand the other division. The other division is the street animals. Those are mostly the very low IQ, almost always insane people on the left. Those are the people on videotape wiping poop on Teslas, firebombing Republican headquarter dealership, and the elites understand the streets are easy to manipulate. They're low IQ. They're inherently violent. And so the elites issue the orders. The streets carry the orders out. We will continue this in a moment. Hang on.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday, about a half hour away from Medal of Honor Monday. So let's now break this down. Why are street animals in this country firebombing Republican Party, the Republican Party of New Mexico? Why are people assaulting? Is it fair to say assaulting Tesla owners? Somebody had a gun pointed at them. 60-year-old woman got punched in the face. They're getting swastikas carved into them repeatedly. Why is this happening? Why is Elon Musk receiving 18,000 death threats per day? Why are these things happening? Because the elite communist scum running the globe. And look, this is the globe. France just eliminated the political party that was on the right. Anyway, why is this happening? Because the elite communist scumbags who have managed to occupy all the positions of power in Western society, they now They now are operating the way communist tyrants always do when they get power. And I realize they're not in the White House. That doesn't matter to these people. They're operating violently, and they're using the bodyguards, the street animals, the enforcement arm to do all the things they want done. And believe me, this is about to get beyond the street stuff with the Teslas and things like that. You see, the street animals have a job. It's to firebomb headquarters. It's to key Teslas. It's to create terror, create fear. They've held up this object, his name's Elon Musk, in front of the animals on the left, and they've convinced them over and over and over again that he is the source of all evil. And the elites continue on, Elon, 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 Elon. And so what they're doing, they're attacking Teslas, trying to affect the stock price. This is all about power. But there's another part of this, you see, because the elites have a role to play in this. Again, as we've discussed so many times before, it's not just that they hand out marching orders and the street animals go start wiping poop on Teslas. The elites protect the street animals after the street animals break the eggs. That's how this relationship works. Pause on this for a moment, and I want you to think about something. I want you to think over the entire span of your life, no matter how old you are, I want you to think about the loudest, most violent right-wing protests you've ever seen in America. Think about it. Besides January 6th, and look, I've already told you I believe that was all government caused anyway, but besides that, which, remember, the only people who died on January 6th were the protesters. That's a fact. Besides that day, which was, by our measure, slightly spicy, I wouldn't even call it terrible. Besides that day, can you name for me a single other right-wing protest of violence ever? Chris? Corey? I'm really genuinely asking. Can anybody think of one? Even one? I'm not asking for five. Can you think of one? You can't, can you? If you can, maybe it's something that slipped my mind. It's not more than one or two. Now, let me ask you this. How many violent left-wing protests have you seen over the course of your life? Chris said, try this week. Yeah, you can't count them all. You could just, last year, the year before, you can't count them all. It's all the time. But why is that? How could it be? Why would that be? If I have a rule in my house, and my rule is, boys, you are not allowed to eat my chips. Nobody's allowed to eat my chips. And if I catch anybody eating my chips, there are going to be consequences. And so Luke never gets busted eating my chips. Yet he's eating my chips all the time. James is constantly getting grounded for eating my chips. Therefore, he stops eating any chips at all. What's happening in the house? Well, the law is protecting one and attacking the other. The reason you've experienced a lifetime of street animals in this country committing acts of violence is they're being protected. They're allowed to. Here's a great example of this. Do you remember, speaking of January 6th, you remember Ray Epps? Remember that name? Maybe that name sounds familiar. Because you know what's wild is, of the January 6th political prisoners, there were so many who were arrested and they didn't even go inside the Capitol. But how do you justify that if you're the government? How in the world could you justify arresting somebody when they didn't even go in the Capitol? Well, those people were arrested because they encouraged others to go in the Capitol. They encouraged others to do lawless things, and so our evil government tracked them down and threw them in cages. Which is funny because we have this on camera.
As soon as President Trump is finished speaking, we are going to the Capitol. It's that direction. That's where our true problems lie.
We need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol.
But why didn't Ray Epps end up in prison?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. You know that judge? The Judge Boasberg? That dork who keeps blocking everything Donald Trump tries to do? Well, it turns out, know how I was just talking about how the elites protect the streets? It turns out Judge Boasberg, he was the same judge that was assigned the Ray Epps case. And after hearing the Ray Epps case, and all these D.C. judges decided to throw the book at every single January 6er who happened to saunter by the Capitol, this same judge heard the Ray Epps evidence, saw all the video you saw, and sentenced him to pretty much nothing. Nothing. A little fine. A little house arrest. Nothing. That's how it works. That's how our current system works. But this is not unique to America. The elites around the globe, the elites around the globe are committing unending acts of violence, and they are turning their violent street animals loose on the free peoples of every single country where they have taken over. And they are trying to smash any and all opposition that is holding them back from being kings and queens again. And somehow we're losing sight of that a little bit in America. And it's because Donald Trump won the election. We look at what just happened in France. France's leader, Marine Le Pen, she's the, quote, far right leader. They love using that term, far right. She's the more populist, hey, let's deport some of all these animals. Let's deport these people. She's that type of person. A very kind of Trump figure in France. They just threw her in prison and barred her from running for office. She was polling ahead in the polls. In America, we think we're past all that because Donald Trump won. They were 2 inches away from blowing his brains out. And if Fannie Willis hadn't had an affair with Nathan Wade, Donald Trump probably spends Election Day in state prison. He still would have won, but he was probably going to be in state prison in Georgia. Our elites do the same thing. In the UK, exact same thing. They're actually passing laws in the UK that say white people are liable for crimes. Muslims are not required to follow that same law. That's what's happening across the globe right now, and that's why it's happening. Romania, right-wing leader, gone. Can't run for office. Over Brazil, same thing. Bolsonaro, gone. It's happening now across the globe. So let's talk about that real quick. Before we talk about that, let's talk about rough greens. Let's talk about our dogs. Vitamins and minerals and probiotics and omega oils and antioxidants. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black created Rough Greens so your dog can live longer. That's the truth. Because they are part of our family. Even the big, fluffy, idiot Fred, part of our family. A huge part of the family. And they die too early. And dog food is dead. There's no nutrition in it. So start sprinkling nutrition on your dog's food. It's a healthy supplement that puts live nutrients necessary for your dog's health. You'll be at the vet less. Rough Greens doesn't cost you money. It saves you money. You want a free jumpstart trial bag? 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. So back to what we were talking about, how they want to tear down the global structure we have now and replace it with something horrific. I want to play something for you. Credit to Natalie Winters. She's the one who found these little audio bits. You know George Soros? Of course you know the name. His son, Alex, now runs the Open Society Foundation. That's Soros's main communist window. It's his communist foundation where really everything filters through. This is the president
of the Open Society Foundation.
It really is. It's a moment in the world where we're being called on to redesign the world. All of us, in whichever space we occupy, this is a time where what we do now will shape the next 50 years. And so the design school is the best place to have a discussion about the state of the world, even though it wouldn't have been obvious at first glance.
I'm going to play this for you again, the beginning.
It really is. It's a moment in the world where we're being called on to redesign the world.
What?
It really is. It's a moment in the world where we're being called on to redesign the world.
Think about that. We've been called on to redesign the world. Huh. Well, called on? Let's start right there. Before we even get to the redesign the world part, who called? I tell you, communism is a religion all the time, and I'm really not trying to be glib. You're laughing, Chris, but if you're called on, somebody called you. And any time I've ever heard somebody saying, I felt called to do, it was always God doing the calling. I felt like God was calling me. It was always a reference to God in some way. But we know these demons don't believe in God. So again, I ask, who's calling?
It really is. It's a moment in the world where we're being called on to redesign the world.
Who called you? Just remember, they're religious zealots. That's one. Two, redesigning the world. That's the exact same promise Lenin brought to Russia. That's the exact same promise Mao brought to China. Pol Pot promised the same thing in Cambodia. It's year zero. Everything else is gone. We'll redesign everything. Every single communist who's ever came to power promising these exact same things right before they began massacring people. Oh, she's not a communist? Listen to who she cites here.
In this moment of volatile transition, many have turned to this Antonio Gramsci's memorable quote.
Who? Who was that now?
In this moment of volatile transition, many have turned to this Antonio Gramsci's memorable quote.
Antonio Gramsci. I feel like I've heard that name before. Oh, yeah, because he was the Italian communist. Have you ever heard the term the long march through the institutions? You've heard of that term, right? I know you have if you listen to this show for any length of time. You know who came up with that quote? Antonio Gramsci. How many times have we discussed America's communists marching through all of our institutions from Hollywood to media to the FBI? That was Antonio Gramsci's blueprint. Antonio Gramsci was a card-carrying, committed communist all the way. Here's the head of George Soros' Open Society Foundation explaining pretty directly that he is somebody they model themselves after. I'll let her continue.
In this moment of volatile transition, many have turned to this Antonio Gramsci's memorable quote, "The old is dying, but the new is not yet born."
Remember who told you they're trying to remake everything?
And we stand at the crossroads. The fight for open society values today does not lie in recovering the old world. This is not a crisis that will be calmed down by top-down reforms that will revive all those old structures and multilateralism or nostalgically rebuild that which is broken. So the task ahead of us is now to discover a new moral imagination. Where are the people with the creativity that can shape, design, and build the new world that is yet to emerge?
A new moral imagination. Do you ever have fun with these little clips the way I do? You ever grab their little terms and wonder, what's that mean? What's a new moral imagination? Why are they always using terms like this? Something new. We need something new. Everything has to change. We need something new. Every single time the communist speaks, the reason he uses words like that, terms like that, year zero, something new, redesign everything, He's trying to soft sell you the revolution he's bringing to your doorstep. He's selling you revolution. We just need a new moral imagination. What does that mean? Well, of course, that means we need to hand these people all the power. And in seeking all the power, these people are morally justified in doing the most despicable things in the world. Have you wondered why the people keying and burning Teslas, why are they not all violent little thugs? Why are some of these people older, upper class, well established? Some of these people are millionaires. They drive up to a Tesla in a nice vehicle and they get out with their car keys and key the car. Let's just say, look, I could never imagine keying a car in my life. I don't damage other people's property, but try to imagine, if you haven't already gotten there, try to imagine living until you're 60 years old. When I picture a 60-year-old, I picture, Lord willing, if I ever make 60, hopefully I'll be at my grandson's T-ball games. You know, that's what I want to do. I picture a grandpa. Imagine keying someone's car at 60 years old. Imagine convincing yourself that you're the good guy when you're keying somebody's car at 60 years old. How in the world could you ever look at yourself in the mirror and convince yourself you're on the right side? Well, it's easy when you have a new moral imagination. Now, that is going to bring me to Medal of Honor Monday and then a heavy topic about the FBI currently and your frustrations. Let's talk about preborn as well. Let's talk about saving lives. Because they, of course, they've lied about abortion forever. They've lied about what it actually is. They've lied about it being alive, about the baby being alive. They've lied repeatedly to these young mothers, telling them it's no big deal. You'll never know it's gone. It's like using the bathroom, when really it just wrecks these poor women oftentimes for the rest of their life. Preborn brings the truth. They bring the truth through the gift of ultrasound, providing a free ultrasound to a young woman who's about to abort her baby. If she can just lay down for that heartbeat, she will choose life almost every time, and you're the one who gives it to her. $28 buys that ultrasound. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's where you give. #250, say the keyword baby. Sponsored by Preborn. Medal of Honor Monday, next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.